This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons continues here on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. The Odyssey app is free. Any part of the show you missed, just type in WEEI. That is Shams on ESPN saying the Celtics are going to be the team to beat in this next window of time here in the NBA. Banner 18 day today. So I guess the cool thing about today, John, is this is the day really where you, obviously they get the rings and people celebrate and they see the banner go up. But that chapter is over once tip-off starts tonight.
And what's cool about this Celtics team, and I think this is one of the other reasons that last year was so enjoyable, is Jaylen Brown turns 28 in 2 days. Tatum's 26, doesn't even turn 27 till March, right? Holiday and Horford are in their mid-30s, and Horford late 30s. But then Porzingis is, what, 29? Derek White's 28. Like, these guys are all young enough. Hauser, Pritchard, the role players there. This team is young enough that if they stay together and have a similar focus and effort to last year, they should be the favorite to win the NBA championship this year, next year, and the year after. Now, I'm not guaranteeing they're going to do it. A lot can happen. But that's how good they are, and that's where they're at in their stages of their careers. And I think that is a really cool piece of this because, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, KJ.
But you are.
You have that feeling where maybe this is kind of the beginning of kind of what the 1980s were like, where, you know, they go to four or five finals, they win, you know, multiple championships. It's remembered forever as such a great time of basketball and a dynasty.
You don't want this to be 81, 82.
And now they have, you know, their one championship already, and they're set up to, again, be that favorite for the next several years. So, again, not to get too ahead of ourselves, but I think that's one of the things I think is really exciting, and it has a little bit of that goosebumps feel where, hey, maybe this could be the start of them, you know, not winning a championship every year. We're not naive here, but being a legit title contender for the next 3, 4, 5 years, maybe winning multiple championships along the way as well.
Yeah, you don't want it to be that 81-82 team. Well, at least that's where you get the creation
of news for the Sixers, right?
Well, it'd be good news for the Sixers, and that was the creation of the Beat LA chant. So that's, from a historic purpose, yes, I mean, that's where, you know, but you don't, you know, it's so tough to repeat in the NBA. But I think in the Eastern Conference, if we just start there, you'd have to say the Pistons, the Wizards, the Hornets, the Raptors, the Nets, the Hawks, the Bulls are all pretty much primed to be towards the bottom. Could we agree on that?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, so now you're looking at the Heat. I'm thinking the Heat, this is now kind of a dog that's now more than halfway in the woods in terms of its opportunity to get to make a run at a title. They didn't get Damian Lillard. Jimmy Butler's now up there in age. They got some good young pieces. You still have Bam Adebayo, but they just don't have another superstar in place to really be able to push teams that are younger and have stars. So can we cross them out?
Yeah.
All right, who finished right ahead of them are the Philadelphia 76ers. You believe in them more than I do, but of course the reports that came out today that Joel Embiid isn't going to play at all the first week of the season for the Sixers, and that Paul George, their latest acquisition, is a game-by-game decision of, yeah, where they're basically monitoring. So pretty much their opening night, they're going to get TikTok Boy and Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, and I think
I say the 76ers are not serious.
If the Sixers can get to the postseason healthy, then I think they could be a legit threat to the Celtics, because even my earlier criticisms of Embiid not wanting to play back-to-backs aside, the dude is an NBA MVP-level player. Maxey's an all-NBA-level player. If Paul George is healthy, he's still maybe not the elite player he was, but he's still a great player. And Nick Nurse is a guy that's won a championship, and I think specifically relevant to this, he won a championship with a quickly assembled team, right? Kawhi Leonard was only there for 1 year. They had traded DeMar DeRozan away in Toronto. They kind of put that team together. Siakam was just coming up as a young player, and he won. So that's why I view them, again, they have to get to the playoffs healthy, but if they do, I view them as a team that could at least give the Celtics some problems, and I think maybe the next biggest threat to them.
Yeah, I really think the biggest issue with the Sixers is that Paul George may be to the detriment and the growth of Tyrese Maxey. I believe that Paul George feels like if the ball is not in Joel Embiid's hands, it should be in his. But we've seen that Tyrese Maxey has grown into that guy being able to hit big shots. Remember, he went on that run in the playoffs, I think he scored like 13 straight points to save them from elimination at one point. So if you take that away, and keep in mind, if he's been playing healthy all year, and then Paul George is one of those guys kind of, you know, kind of sucking his fingers after eating some food, coming off the bench, talking about, like, give me the ball. that's going to be a mental issue that Philadelphia has had. They've had talent there, but they haven't been able to have the mental get right for that team. And that's why I'm like, I'm not buying the 76ers, because I don't think mentally they will be there, just the same way that you saw Harden shut it off at some times and then suddenly turn it on last year. Indiana Pacers, look, it's shocking to see that they finished this low and finished as high as they did. Anomaly, or are they really better than finishing around sixth in the conference?
Yeah, no, I think the Pacers are legit, and I know it's ironic it was a sweep, but I thought they gave the Celtics their toughest series. I mean, game one went to overtime. Game three, the Celtics were down by 18 points and had to come back and win a close game. Game four, Derek White hit the game winner in the final minute. I mean, that series, again, the Celtics would have won that series, no doubt in my mind, but that could have easily been a six-game series. I mean, those games came down to the wire. So, yeah, I think they're going to continue to ascend and be a good team this year.
I think the hype that Philadelphia is getting is the real team that the Indiana Pacers will be this year. That makes sense?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so in other words, I think Indiana, I put them in the top three behind the Celtics. Obviously, the Celtics are one, surprise, surprise. But I put the Indiana Pacers as one of those top three teams behind the Celtics, despite them finishing sixth last year. Orlando Magic, do you see improvement, or do you see them around the fifth best team in the East?
So I'm a big Orlando Magic supporter. I have a little bit of improvement. Like, I think they might finish ahead of Cleveland this year. I think there's just a lot to like. That team reminds me of a not as talented Oklahoma City, in that they have a lot of really good young players that are ascending together. I don't put them quite on the OKC level, but I think Banchero is a stud. Wagner's really good. I like Orlando a lot. I think they move up. They're going to be, I think, the three or the four seed in the East.
Yeah, you know how they have like the divisions and you really don't count them, like nobody really thinks about them, but what is it, the Eastern Conference South with like Orlando, Miami, Atlanta, and Charlotte? Is, and I think the Wizards, are the Wizards in that? The Wizards in the Central.
I would have to actually.
No, the Wizards are in the E.
The Southeast is the Magic, the Heat, the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Wizards are in
and
that.
And the division. Wizards, the
yeah,
Wizards
I
in that, right?
I couldn't remember the Wizards.
Okay. Right, because it's such a bad division that I think Orlando wins that division. I think it's a question of, I think they end up as the four seed because they can get so many victories inside their own division that when they'll be able to feast. That's why I don't think Miami's really going to be there again this year. I think Orlando might end up with the four seed. Last year they were the five, and I agree they probably finish ahead of Cleveland, who finished four last year. So you see Cleveland with a bit of slippage here?
Yeah, a little bit. And look, I like Donovan Mitchell a lot. He re-signed there, and I think they're good. I think it's more a case of, I just think Orlando's going to be a little bit better. That's an Orlando team that challenged Cleveland early in the playoffs last year. I just think it's more about, if I look at the teams behind Cleveland, Orlando, Indiana, Philly, I think those three teams are going to be better than they were a year ago, and I think Cleveland's going to be kind of the victim to that.
So now we get to the good two behind the Celtics. The Milwaukee Bucks finished third, disappointing season last year, changed coaches early on. Here's good news for those who think that the Bucks have been cursed. Thanasis is not on the team this year, even though there's a joking meme saying that he's willing to re-sign with the team just to be there for support. But there was a little bit of the question of nepotism in terms of Thanasis, and early on with their first coach before Doc Rivers came, they weren't able to really fully adhere themselves to the team. Chris Middleton was on a minutes restriction. He is again right now. You wonder if they're getting up there in age. But this is really the last shot for Dame Lillard and for Giannis to get this together before the calls for Giannis Giannis to say trade me to someone who's desperate, say, in the West. Like, if he goes to the Mavericks, oh my God.
Yeah, well, and I think Giannis is probably the player to watch over the next 18 months, because if he goes anywhere, like, what if he goes to Golden State and plays with Steph Curry in the twilight of Steph's career? Like,
I would say through February, if the Bucks fall apart.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm just thinking it more broad, but yeah, you're right. If they fall apart early, but wherever he goes, because let's just say he doesn't stay there, like, if he goes to Miami, Dallas, whoever, they're immediately, to me, the team that's right there with the Celtics, because he's a top three player in the NBA. And if you add him to a team that's already a contender or a good team, like, that's, again, that's something to watch him out. Cause I don't know about you, KJ. I like Milwaukee. I'm a big Dame Lillard guy. I still don't look at them as a team that I think would beat the Celtics in a playoff series.
I think the most dangerous team that Giannis could go to, and I don't know if he would, or they would do the deal, would be Indiana in the East.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Anybody else, I think it would be in the West, where they're saying, okay, we've got to get Giannis out of the East, and if he wants an NBA championship, he's got to go through that gauntlet over there, which is totally different over here. The Knicks finished number two, and of course, tip off with the game is about 15 minutes away for TD Banner at TD Garden for Banner 18. The Knicks, the move with Cat, they move out DiVincenzo, they move out Julius Randle. I believe this team, I think, will figure some things out and will be a pebble in the shoe for the Celtics, but a lot of it is very contingent upon where is Cat Karl-Anthony Towns' head. Is it in being home, or is it being the leader of a franchise that's trying to make a run at the Celtics while things are still new?
Yeah, and my thing on New York, like, they're a great team, don't get me wrong. I'm just, like, I look at Philly and I look at Indiana, and I think they are bigger challenges to the Celtics than the Knicks. And I know that might seem like a weird take, and I know I'm in the minority on that. I just look at the Knicks, and they've had so many injuries over the past few years. I wonder if that's going to stick with them. I think Porzingis is a better post player than Karl-Anthony Towns, although Towns is kind of the Knicks' answer to Porzingis. And I just think the Knicks are a team that has a lot of hype around them, and I think they still have a lot of questions to answer.
Do you think Karl-Anthony Towns is a better overall player than Porzingis?
No, not necessarily. Their numbers are very similar. It's just Towns has been more durable. So I guess Towns has been more durable, so I'll give him that. But catch and shoot threes, their numbers are similar. Post points, possession, all that, very similar. Porzingis is a better defender, although it's close.
Like, well, it's interesting.
They both have
similar weaknesses, which is bench play and the outside shot. So, like, if Hauser is consistent, then that steps that up. If Pritchard is consistent, then that steps that up. Until that consistently happens, it's still kind of a wait and see. Mikal Bridges has changed the shot, and it looks really ugly. So he may be the new Ben Simmons for the Knicks. It's going to be a fascinating watch. It's almost going to be like watching two hamsters inside of a hamster wheel and see how will they get along when they fight. What does that fight look like? Because I think it's them and the Celtics that make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and I look at Indiana and Philly a little bit higher, but I think it's going to depend on matchups too. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Indiana and New York have to play each other on the way to getting to the conference finals, depending on
they did last year.
Right, so depending on how it shakes out. So the Boston will only have to play one of them. But I think, like, if you're asking me who are the biggest threats to the Celtics, like, I look at a healthy Philly team, then I look at Indiana, Milwaukee, and the Knicks kind of in that next category right after.
Wow, I would say Knicks would be the biggest threat, followed by Milwaukee, just because they may get it together. And then after that, I would put Indiana there.
Yeah.
Because Indiana was there last year. So that's how much I don't believe in Philly, just because I think it's trying to, you know, put an old Band-Aid on a new wound.
And we are leaving Cleveland out of this discussion. I mean, look, Cleveland did beat the Celtics in one game, so it went to five games. They have Donovan Mitchell. Like, Cleveland, I think, would be a tough out. I think they're going to fall victim to those other teams behind them being good. But if the Celtics got
to
Cleveland,
me, they're a great value Miami.
Yeah, like, if Cleveland played Boston in say, a first-round matchup, that's going to be a tough first round series for this. Like, they're going to,
just because of the size.
Well, I think Cleveland's going to be a team that ends up being like a 7 or 8 seed, but they're a much better 7 or 8 seed than your typical 7 or 8 seed. And that's going to give someone some trouble in the first round.
Right. I would say you would rather play the Heat as the 8 seed this year, yeah, than you would Cleveland being in that 8 seed, or potentially even
Chicago, Atlanta.
Chicago,
Seagan,
yeah, but I would think it's probably Miami. It's KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Man, a lot has been happening with this Patriots football team, and even people who used to be associated with the team. There's so much to get to, but right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Find Mass Money. It's finally here. Just moments ago, the Celtics received their rings, and Banner 18 was hung in the rafters of the TD Garden. Celtics preparing to open up the 2024 season in a matchup with the New York Knicks. It'll be a clean bill of health for the Seas, besides forward Kristaps Porzingis, who's recovering from off-season foot surgery. Celtics and the Knicks set to tip off from the Garden here in about 10 minutes. Bruins wrapping up a 3-game road trip tonight in Nashville, taking on the Predators. Bees have not named a starting goalie for tonight yet, but Jeremy Swayman is expected to be the man in net. Puck drop from Bridgestone Arena set for 8:45. Lakers and Timberwolves will square off in the second leg of the NBA season opener. Tip-off in that one will follow the Celtics, currently set for 10 p.m. Finally, according to ESPN's Diana Russini, the Los Angeles Rams are open to trading star wide receiver Cooper Kupp. The team is reportedly looking for a second-round pick in return. Find Mass Money wants to help you enjoy the football season by helping you find money you didn't know you had. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It only takes 30 seconds to search your name. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lions coming up after this.
We're back to KJ and Lions on WEEI.
KJ and Lions on WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. John, if today wasn't banner raising, banner day 18 today, and that banner wasn't being raised, this is like front page news, right? Gerard Mayo and the Greg Hill Show walking back the comments or walking back the assertion that he said that players are soft, but he was saying that they're playing soft. And this thing has just kind of run wild. Now, here's where I kind of have a problem with all these arrows and darts that are out, and it goes to the comments. Did he tell his players that first? Right? Did he tell his players that first, right?
In the locker room, yeah.
In the locker room, and then mentioned it in the media. People are making it seem like he's making a statement to the media about his players that haven't heard this already. So if you've been asking for transparency of this guy kind of giving you insight of what's going on with this team, you can't bark and sneeze when he's told you, I've told my players they are playing soft. He comes out and tells you that. Oh, he says the team, I'd never say my team was soft. What do you want from the guy?
Yeah, I actually thought it was not a smart thing for him to say at all.
What?
And here's the thing. I've been telling you this, KJ, since the spring, and you and others didn't really always want to hear it from me. Some of these little missteps, like he's going too far with some of the things he's saying. Yes, it's refreshing and a change from the previous regime, and I get it, but he's going too far with some of this stuff. So when you come out and publicly say they're soft, now it's not just,
They're playing soft?
Yeah, but he said we are soft, and then he clarified it, sure. But when you publicly come out and say that, it's different than just saying it behind closed doors. Like it's just a different thing. Then it becomes a huge public issue. Everyone talks about it. All the players get asked about it. The players know that he's telling the world he thinks they're soft. And then on top of it, you have former players and their former coach saying, well, I don't think these guys are soft. And then
hey,
it's a whole nother
screw to both of them. Do they cut a check or are they on the team?
Yeah, but it's still not a smart thing for him to say. Like all these things come out. Like it's just
so,
not.
So
like, and look, he's 7 games into his coaching career. So we got to give him some grace here. Like he's gonna have some missteps. We've been talking about this all along, but this is another one of those things. I've been saying this since July. It's another one of those things where, hey, it was nice you shared a little more, but you went overboard and you shared too much, and now it creates a whole nother issue. He wouldn't have been clarifying that on the Greg Hill Show.
Let me ask you this. Should he not discuss anything anymore? Should he go Belichick with the media?
I didn't say that.
No,
I said he's going too far. You're trying to make it a binary thing. It doesn't have to be a binary thing. He's going too far.
I think when your coach talking to the media, you can't be both, right? You can't be sometimes on and sometimes off.
But that's not what he can say. We're not playing good enough and we got to play better. And that's different than saying we're soft.
He told his team, we're playing soft. And so you don't think the question is, what do you tell a team after a loss like this?
You don't. Yeah, but then you just say, we have to play.
No,
KJ, I'm not saying that. Like,
so why not tell him?
He created an entire controversy that didn't need to be there. Do you think that's a good idea?
Because he told the media what he told his players?
Yeah. Do you think that's a good idea?
It would be a different thing if he told the media first and never said that to his players.
Yeah, that would be even worse. You're right. But it still doesn't make this
smart. That's where it is binary, I would say, right?
Because this wasn't smart of him to do.
Oh, so
like if you have to go on the Greg Hill Show and clarify what you said, obviously what you said wasn't smart.
Well, you go there because it's still an appeasement. Does it change what he told his players?
No, because if he's appeasing guys, it's bad.
Okay, did he change what he said to his players?
I have no idea if he changed what he said to his players.
Okay, I would bet the house he didn't change his words to the players. He didn't say, hey, I apologize.
But that's not what we're talking about.
But my point being is this. You wanted a coach who was a little more open with the media. He's been open with the media, and now people are saying it's too much. What are we at, a Brazilian steakhouse? Oh, no, don't cut me more meat. Or what are we supposed to have? Okay, that's too much there. Oh, that's not enough. I'll say this, and then we'll get to your call, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. If you want Gerard Mayo gone, you should know that the best way to do it is cheer him on and their victories. It's called the Watch This, the Josh McDaniels play. How successful was Josh McDaniels after he got those first six wins in Denver, was on Good Morning America, had just beaten Belichick?
Yeah, he was gone within a calendar year, right?
Less than a calendar year, made bad decisions, traded off second round picks for Tebow. How successful has Josh McDaniels been as a head coach after going 6-0 in this league?
Oh, he's not been successful at all.
Not at all. No. But if a guy is losing now, John, after seven games, we predicted, I know I did, this team may win two games. So if it can only potentially get better. So if you don't want it to get better, then just say you don't want it to get better with Mayo. But if it was really good right now and it got bad, everybody would agree, dude needs to go. The Josh McDaniels play. So better for it to not start off so sexy with this guy and get better later, because I think the only thing that matters right here, John, with these in this Patriots organization is, do May and Mayo get square together well? Does ownership see them all getting along and they're having more conversations with Elliott Wolf? He's probably getting the most aggressive talks out of everybody. That's my belief.
Yeah, and I've said from the beginning, I think the two biggest things you should want out of this season are to walk away from it feeling good about Drake May as your future quarterback and Gerard Mayo as your head coach. I think that should be the goals here. Obviously, your goal is to win games, right? You win every week.
Played one game.
I think you should walk away in mid-January, and you should want to feel those two things. And I think, look, it's only been two games. I think the feeling is good about Drake May. I don't think the feeling is quite good there. I don't know how to word that correctly, but it's not as good with Gerard Mayo. And I think, look, the guy deserves some time
with
here.
Who?
It's been seven games.
A bunch of guys who can't perform? You see what I'm saying? Like, it's your job. So with Belichick says, hey, these guys had this defense last year and so forth and everything like that. Yeah, because you were the one that could fire them right on the field. Is anybody missing that aspect right there? Belichick, the coach last year, could fire those guys right there in the field. Who would he have to go talk to about firing a guy?
Yeah, nobody, but I think you're missing the point here.
No, but that's the whole thing. When you have that level of fear that you could put in players, it's totally different if you know there's a whole nother level you got to go to. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Derek. Derek, thanks for calling KJ Lines.
Hey, guys, how are you? So I'm not special, but I have been anointed by Wiggy, the unofficial ambassador of the Greg Hill Show. Great
so
show.
What?
Love it.
Okay.
Listen to it all the time. It's kind of a big deal for me. But anyways, so this is what I'm thinking, and I appreciate what you're saying, but I think Mayo is transparent, and he just says stuff, and honestly, he corrects himself. I don't know if you guys agree with that or don't disagree. He's way more transparent than Bill Belichick. Bill was like, you know, one-word answers, all that. And I think this guy is genuine. I really do. And he's a patriot, first of all. And I really do think that sometimes he retracts. What he said, we're going to play cash or whatever. What the hell he's freaking doing? We're going to spend cash or whatever he said. And you know what? He probably overstepped his bounds not knowing that they were going to spend money. So I'll listen to you guys and love your show, and thanks for doing a great job.
Derek, thank you. And I was just kidding about the whole thing.
Feel free to call the Greg Hill Show and tell them how great we are.
Right, exactly. In fact, tell them about the political ad you heard. No, but here's the thing. Did the Patriots try to attempt to spend cash?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, right. So if you attempt to spend cash and people say no, it doesn't change the fact that you attempted to make that effort.
Yeah.
That's why when you say, oh, spend cash, I think people, I'll get to it in a second, John, because I saw something that was just fascinating in Sports Illustrated, an article about free agents, according to their agents anonymously, where players want to and don't want to go. Get your thoughts, and then we'll get to Rick in Portsmouth. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things. I agree with the caller, right? So this is a guy, and he's only seven games in. I know I keep repeating that, but I think there's a lot of people out there, especially Patriots fans, that are wildly impatient. Like, we are talking about a team that won four games last year. It's not like they're the defending Super Bowl champs and all of a sudden are bad. But I think he's learning along the way, like, it's nice to be more open with the media. And I think over 20 years, Bill could have been more open with the media at times. I understood at times why he wasn't, but he could have been more. But I think there's a line of, hey, I'm being more open and this is good to, all right, now I'm retracting something for the third time. Or now I'm going, like, I think he's along the way needs to do a better job of finding that line. I think some of that's just going to come from experience. Like, if we're sitting here next October and still having this conversation, it's a big problem. But I think it's something that over time can just naturally come with experience, because this is also something, guy's only been coaching 5 years, he's never really dealt with the media on a regular basis before.
And it's that's just not fair, because he's done television stuff, so he knows the, he kind of knows the rigmarole.
From a head coach, like, press conference, okay, perspective.
Gotcha.
So you're right, he did do TV, so he should be probably better at it than he is, but I'm willing to give him some grace, but it is something I think he needs to learn from.
All right, Rick in Portsmouth, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it. I think, honestly, I think Mayo's got to go. And I think, you know, Kraft needs to surround himself with some forward-thinking people in the NFL and really just kind of clean house, you know. The fact that he decided upon Mayo 5 years ago just shows a real lack of business insight on Kraft's part. And, you know, it's just time for some serious change at that place.
Thank you so much for the call. John, I'm looking at an article from Sports Illustrated from 2019. So keep in mind, this is not a survey they take every year, but this does include Belichick's reign here. So the top five places players wanted to go, and they mentioned lifestyle and things to do. Number one was Dallas. Number two was Seattle. And I could understand that. They probably want to get in bed with the tech world, right? Number three was Miami. This is starting to make sense here. Four, the L.A. Rams. Five, Atlanta. Okay, others receiving votes. Philadelphia received four votes. Houston, four. Indy, four. New England, three. Arizona, two. Denver, two. So Patriots somewhere around 8-9, okay? When you get to the bottom five, Buffalo was one. At the time, Oakland. Cincinnati, Detroit, Cleveland, then Jacksonville, and then the Patriots were tied with the Jets, the Giants, and Green Bay. We're just behind Green Bay.
And just for reference, this article came out a month after they won a Super Bowl.
Right. And part of the article mentions about some people actually mentioning Belichick by name. Says the fourth worst destination Detroit had an added knock of a locker room that appears dysfunctional to players looking from the outside in, especially with Matt, quote, I think I'm Belichick, but I haven't done S. Patricia, one agent said. So that's part of that atmosphere that was here. You know, think about it. Patricia came back.
I think that's
back.
A lot different, though, because one guy was a head coach for six championships and the other guy acted like it but wasn't.
Well,
I think that's what the agent was getting at.
Right, I totally get that. But in terms of why free agents aren't coming here is all of that DNA still swims through here, right? This is the first year of change. So you're not going, so there's going to be pain it's going to be painful before you get to the next level, right? What was going on between Mac Jones and Bill Belichick seems to be even more apparent to me now, the way that Bill Belichick is coming off about a team he doesn't have anything to do with anymore. Yeah, if you've got an issue with Kraft, talk about the high-level stuff. Why go after the guy who's at a position that's technically not as powerful as yours? Bill will never touch power again over his comments about Mayo and what Mayo said. He'll never touch power in this league again.
I disagree. He's still going to coach
next done.
Year.
No, he's done. I'll give you a great example. You hear how people talk about how they wanted Vrabel here? You know why Vrabel was fired? For showing up here.
The owners didn't like that.
And then losing four of your next seven games after losing three of your first four before the off week. You don't think, look, as much as the Crafts probably love him, they would say, you know what, this guy was willing to kind of usurp his job. Like, just because it's a bye week doesn't mean you're getting prepared for the team. You don't take vacation to go hang out with your old team. People look at that and say, you know what? This guy might have failed the test here. Yeah, you could have done this ceremony next year. You know, like, it's still Ring of Honor is going to be here. So that's the other part is owners start to look at, and this goes back to being able to control the narrative and their organization. Bill is never going to have that control again unless and it's not even a real story. If he couldn't even go to the Raiders and have that type of control without Davis being just absolutely willing to fire him as the ultimate revenge for the Tuck game. Like, you're fired, Bill. They fired Jordan. They would fire Bill.
I don't think he's going to go somewhere and be like a GM head coach again, but he is going
to
coach again.
No, there's Bill has no just gone too mouthy just to be just a head coach.
I don't think him criticizing Mayo is going to prevent it. Like, if that's the thing, the owners are idiots. But also, I just don't think that's realistic.
Then they're idiots now, right? Because nobody, he was available. Yeah, okay, so they might not
Jerry
be idiots.
Jerry Jones looks like an idiot right now.
Nah, not just yet.
You think if Bill was coaching that team, they'd probably be 5-2 or 6-2.
Bill would be pulling his hair out, and Parcells would be like, bro, I tried to tell you.
It worked with Parcells. A lot of people forget that.
Until?
Hey, all you need is a couple years, and it worked with Parcells.
But Jerry Jones was not as controlling then as he is now. He's desperate in 80-something. So you want to walk into a situation with a desperate old man who just went off on our coworkers in Dallas last week? Saying I can have other people ask me the questions. What do you think he's going to do to a head coach when they lose a game, a close game to the Eagles? Yeah. He's not going to care if Belichick's in the room.
Oh, I think Bill's one of the few guys that I think is fine. Will be able to handle that, and Jerry's not going to bend his decisions.
Is that prayer with dinner as well? Because, like I said, these owners, like Arthur Blank, did not hire Belichick simply because Belichick wanted more control.
No, he didn't hire Bill because Kraft called him and asked him not to.
Oh, you don't think that's the final thing? You know, it's not the first thing.
Kraft
but
called
him
and said, I don't trust this guy. Don't hire him. That's why Bill didn't get that job. Well, and he was interviewing on the guy's yacht multiple times.
But the other part of that is, that doesn't have to be the only reason. It could be another. That could be the final straw. This is same thing in entertainment, right? If I went to another place for a job, right? Someone's going to make a phone call. Even though this is technically illegal in business, but people talk. And they might say, you know what? Good candidate. All right, find out something for me. Oh, man, it looked like he had the job. What happened? They can't tell you out loud. It was a phone call. But it's a phone call usually talking to somebody despite everything that looks good on paper. Evan in Maine, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on WEEI.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I think it's unfair to place the blame on Mayo. You just hit on it. He's a first-year head coach. Trying to figure out his way and his voice within the locker room, I place a lot of the blame on the Krafts. That's where it starts. They're in charge of the organization and putting people in place. And how do we know that it's not Mayo? I mean, you think about the first two drives of the game the other day. They march right down the field, and then the play calling changes dramatically for the rest of the game. I would look at Alex Van Pelt as somebody that's got to go. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Evan. Yeah, because Mayo's the easy guy to look at. You know why? Because he's the head coach. But guess he's absolutely right. Start the game. Was Mayo the problem?
And I think, too, when you look at, all right, why are the Patriots not good right now? There's a lot of blame to go around. I think,
lack of talent on the roster.
Yeah, so like it starts with from 2018 to 2022.
I'll tell you what, keep that thought in mind because we got to get to break. I don't want to find ourselves starting the next hour at 8:15. So I'll tell you what, we'll come back. We'll continue the conversation here. KJ and Lyons, join the convo. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Thank you so much for hanging out.
This is not a real election ad.
KJ and Lyons bring forth a new nation in sports talk entertainment. A show that believes in appealing to the super smart down to the guy who still acts like a 10th grader.
I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf.
The show that can tie everyday life and Boston sports like no other.
It's high-end stuff, KJ.
This election season, vote KJ and Lyons. A show for the people. By the people.
Yes, KJ and Lyons can.
KJ and Lyons are doing a heck of a job.
And yes, KJ and Lyons are bigly on sports.
Read my lips.
KJ and Lyons are the bee's knees.
Because it is you that KJ and Lyons work for.
I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
Vote KJ and Lyons. A show for you, the people.
I'm KJ and I overdraft my account to pay for this ad.
This is not a real election ad.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
WEEI. If you missed any of the show, the Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI. Save it. You listen to chapter by chapter. Celtics raising banner 18. John, I don't know if you're... I'm just thinking about how TNT kind of blew the bunny on that.
Go to
commercial while you're raising. Like, do you think they're going to go to commercial when some youngster, Bron Jr., James Jr. comes in? No, they're going to... They'll probably have a whole highlight reel. Man, all the years. And remember when you sat on daddy's lap in Cleveland? Zach, didn't you tell me that there is a line of plus money, or at least started as plus money, for Bronny to even score into tonight's game?
Yeah, when I looked earlier, it was plus 115. When I looked right before the show started, it was all the way down to minus 140.
So, in other words, they're going to lay down for Bronny to get a layup. Oh, my gosh. I mean, can we just go ahead and lactate on the NBA court if that's the case? I mean, it's disgusting. Jeez. Sorry. We've been talking about the situation with the Patriots, Gerard Mayo, ownership. We've had some very good calls about who they kind of want to point fingers to. And I do kind of want to slow the ship down a second, John. First, I want to get your thoughts that you were going to into the break. Then I'll mention what I was going to mention. We'll get to text messages, and then we'll get to Just the Jag. So all that's going to happen here within the next 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So John, finish what you were saying before we went to break.
Yeah, so the caller mentioned, like, hey, blame Kraft, right? And I think we got to be aware there's a lot of blame to go around here, because I think a lot of folks look at this as, oh, this is year four of a rebuild or year five. Well, really, for Mayo and Wolf, it's year one, if we're being fair. And the biggest reason to me the Patriots aren't good right now is from 2018 to 2022, they used 5 first-round picks on offensive players. Only one of them is still here, and it's Cole Strange. So Bill deserves blame for that. I think Elliot Wolfs deserves some blame for the offseason not addressing the tackle position as much. Mayo deserves some blame for some of these growing pains we've seen as a rookie head coach. The players themselves deserve some blame. And I think Kraft deserves some blame where, over the years, there were... I know he didn't step in a lot, and usually that's a good thing, but he could have stepped in and said, no, we're not going to let Tom Brady leave. Or he could have stepped in and said, hey, we've had a few bad drafts in a row, let's revamp something. Like, he could have, or he could have done a more extensive search for head coach and a, I don't want to say a better search for offensive coordinator, but maybe that could have been handled better. So
Tom was going to go. Even if they asked him to stay,
a lot of blame to go around. Like, when you look at where they're at, it's not just Mayo, it's not just Bill, it's not just crap. There's a lot of blame, I think, to go around of to why they're at where they're at.
But I think it's amazing how when we want to blame what we want to blame, it's okay. But if other people want to blame other people, it's like, take your own responsibility. So for me, you're a professional athlete in pro football. You know what your job is. You don't have to go to class. You don't have a 20-hour restriction on how much you practice. You've either been drafted or Lord willing, you've been able to get through the free agency process and be able to latch on with the team. Like, if you can't maintain your focus, that's you. That's not always on the coaches.
And those guys deserve some blame too, right? Like, some of the bad tackling on defense, like, you're a pro. Like, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly, because there are other guys who supposedly can't do what you do, and when you don't do it, you then have to question, do we need to get other guys in here? You remember some weeks ago, John, I don't know if you were here with me, but I'd said it. If Mayo has to start laying asses out and getting him out of there, getting for returns on picks, then fine, go. There are some people who you just wouldn't just get. You know, obviously, Gonzalez is not going anywhere. May's not going anywhere. You know, probably some of the pieces on defense, other pieces on defense, they're not going anywhere. But if you're telling me, as bad as this team is and as bad as they're performing, you're not expendable? Like, you might latch on with another team, and you could be Jalen Reagor, who fumbles the ball going into the end zone last night for Los Angeles, just for them to lose by what? Less than a touchdown.
They lost by one, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there's a direct correlation of when you can't do your job, it can cost people their jobs. Now, the other side of that is, I did say Mayo made a huge mistake going for two when they were down. When they got the touchdown and decided to go for two and didn't get it. That was a mistake, because
I thought that was the right move.
Here's the thing. You get the 7, you only need one possession.
Yep.
If you only get the 6, you need two possessions.
Yep.
And when what did you have to do? You had to go
for it on
4th and 24.
But I think that's why it's the right move, because then you know what you need. Rather than have the ball at the end of the game, and then let's say you have to go for two, you don't get it, you automatically lose.
Or if you go earlier...
You can manage the clock differently. They weren't able to do it, John.
That's amazing math, because I always thought that 9 equaled more than two possessions.
Believe it or not, I actually have extensive experience doing
that's
this.
That's okay,
games.
But
so
I'm saying
what I'm
this.
Getting at, if you,
I don't care about it, John. If you get
if
the
could,
7
if I could
and you only
it.
Need 8, go for the 7. If you don't get the 7 and you have 6, you're left with 9. What happened? They went for 4th and 24 with 1:54 left on the clock, and guess why they had to go for it? You know why they had to go for it? Because they needed two possessions.
Okay. But just because they didn't execute it right doesn't mean, like, this is what I've talked about all summer, right? The process and making sure it doesn't always, the results can vary, but you want the process to be right. I thought that was the right thing to do. And sometimes it's not, right? Like, there's certain situations where you don't want to go for two and keep the pressure on, but usually in that situation, fourth quarter, you want to go for two early so then you can manage the clock to get yourself an extra possession if you need it. They just failed to do it because they couldn't execute, but I thought it was the right move to do.
Yeah, I almost look at it this way. Do you pay for the mortgage first or do you pay for the car note first?
The mortgage.
There you go. The mortgage is on the front side. Yeah, so that's.
I'm just telling you how teams manage it, and I think it was the correct
move. Well, here's the thing. When you don't get it on the front side, you're down by nine. Was there enough time in that game?
And then you know you need two possessions, so it's the smart thing to do.
Was there enough time for two possessions?
That's your job to manage them. Like, wow. That's what you. It's not. If there was 2 minutes left, then yeah, fine. Then don't go for two then. But what was that score? Midway through the fourth?
It was 4 minutes left. It was about 4 minutes left when they were down, and they ended up down by nine. So you already needed two possessions to get the game back.
4 minutes, they had multiple timeouts and the 2 minute warning. If you play defense well, you should be able to get multiple possessions there.
Like, and that's how the defense had been playing how?
But that's also their fault for not playing defense well.
Yeah, like,
are times where I can say, yeah, don't go for too early. I get it, but that one I was.
Yeah,
okay
in the first quarter, don't chase the points. But if you're if you don't get that 2 point conversion on the front side, you are now down by nine, which means you've got to get you've got to score, give up the ball, and get the ball again and score in about 5 minutes with this team.
You're leaving out the other side of it, though. Then if you go down, and let's say you kick the extra point, you're down by eight, and you manage it down so you score at the very end.
And
if you don't get the two, you automatically lose.
But guess what?
So you have a better chance.
One way or the other, where would you rather try for the two and not get it? When you have a chance to tie the game or when you know you have to chase points?
I would rather have it earlier so I know what I need to do.
No, because if I've got a chance to be able to huddle over there and say, you know what, this is really for the game right now, best play right now.
And there are exceptions to that. Like, I think it was I might have the wrong game here, but like that Vikings-Lions game, like there was one there that I was like, oh no, this is one where I would kick the extra point because the momentum was shifting. So I'm like, I'll keep the pressure on them. So like there's merit to...
Well, you can say this about the Patriots game. They just stopped them on that fourth down, on that fourth and two, and was able to go down and score. So the defense did have a little bit of momentum in this game, as bad as they played. I'll tell you what, we'll move Just the Jag to next hour. We'll continue the Patriots conversation because, look, they're playing someone who's even more dysfunctional. And then, John, I've got to ask you, which 1-6 team would you rather be? Because the Patriots aren't the only one, and I think it makes a point about where this Patriots team is heading versus where it's at right now. KJ and Lyons continues next on WEEI. Thanks so much for being here.